In early March, the major US sports codes announced that the post-game locker rooms would be closed to the press indefinitely due to the coronavirus. Journalists would have to organize interviews to the team's media managers. The US Associated Press editors agreed to cooperate in the name of public health, but went on to say, "We must ensure that locker room access, which we have negotiated over decades to players, coaches, and staff, is not unnecessarily limited in either the short or long term." The changes would give the US media a similar level of access to players as the Australian or the UK press. The US journalists are concerned, but how much access is required to produce quality journalism? I chat to Daniel Cherney, an AFL and cricket correspondent from the Age newspaper, about access to players and how it affects journalism.
So, because in the US, they sort of, at least in basketball, they sort of open the doors and it's free for all. That, would you want that over here? I don't think it'd ever happen here.
It's a good question. Because I know there are some people that say, access it always sounds good, and generally you want more access, and you get frustrated when they don't give you the interviews that you want and stuff. But there's also an argument to say access is overrated, and that the best, I think, the catchy access is overrated. The best people, access actually is a great leveler, and the best journalists survive without direct access because they cultivate contacts and can get the stories elsewhere. Whereas if everyone's being put up all the time, that means that sort of anyone can go and talk, any journalist, it makes it a lot easier, and there's less of a challenge and less of an art. There's also an argument to say that, access is good if anyone's going to say anything interesting, but a lot of the time, I always try to talk to a player in the room if I can, one-on-one. It's just good to have, some separate content for yourself, perhaps to use later in the week or the following day, or they might say something interesting, or they might be a particular player you want to talk to about a certain topic, but a lot of the time, some of the time it's good. Maybe I reckon one in every five, is really, you might get something pretty good, but a lot of the time it's pretty mind-numbing, relatively mind-numbing stuff, and not really, not particularly relevant or newsworthy. It's just pretty glib.
Yeah.
Quotes. Is it? And you end up, and you don't even run the story a lot of the time. You just you go there, make sure you do it, tick the box, because you never know what you might get. And every now and again, you get something good, so you got to do it. It's like anything, more people you talk to, the more likely you are to get something.
Many major sports clubs have their own media team and even broadcast studios at their training bases. There is a desire to own the story.
I think one thing is clubs try to put stuff out through their own channels, where they're not necessarily asked the hard questions and just trying to manage the message as much as possible. Or a lot of the time, if you get given access, there are strings attached. Sometimes he's not going to talk about this, or make sure we put in this message, so that sort of stuff that can be frustrating.
Lockie Hunter, a footballer for the Western Bulldogs, was charged with drink driving offences after he crashed his car into four parked cars in Middle Park near Brighton. Rather than facing up to media conferences as expected, the Bulldogs put out a video where Lockie Hunter read from a prepared statement. He faced no questions from the media. With clubs creating their own content, access to players is more often public relations than journalism.
A lot of the time, people want good news out there and want to be answering, the clubs and athletes ideally want to do things on their terms, so that's always a bit of a challenge.
I think I see what you're saying, that the access is great, but there's the actual journalism can be aside from that.
I think a lot of the best stories ultimately you see don't have any quotes, because they've been sourced through off the record contacts and have been confirmed or denied by people who don't want to be quoted. And that's where I say, I'm not saying there aren't really compelling interviews, and sometimes you get really good stories, and then people, you get interviews and people tell you new stories, or people go on the record and give you a new story. But I think a lot of the time, the best, as I said, the best journalism is without quotes, because no one wants to talk about it. I think Caro was a great line that Caro said, you know, the best stories are the ones people don't want you to write.
US journalists will be entering a brave new world post-coronavirus, but it appears if they can learn anything from their Australian counterparts, it's that access doesn't define newsworthiness.
How much do you want to talk to the sixth best player at the Renegades? Like, sort of after a while, it sort of becomes, what is the news value out of talking to that first that person? Yeah. Like, it's just you can have a voice for voice's sake, but like, is that story actually going to go anywhere? Is it actually telling you anything?